and welcome to the Metal Hammer podcast number 80. I'm here with Alice. How are you, Alice?
I'm okay. How are you, Al?
I'm good, thanks. We haven't got any Merlin here this week, though.
Nope.
So we're both crying, aren't we?
Oh, so sad.
Well, it's still a really exciting time to be into metal. We still have Tool on the front cover. Their record was obviously out last week. You've probably been jamming it over the weekend. If you are into Tool and all things Tool, take a look at our new issue. We've got a massive cover interview with them. We've got a special bonus Tool magazine that tells you all about their early years and goes through loads and loads of their songs. We kind of picked our favourite ones. And there's loads more stuff in the issue as well. We've got a ton of bands in there. We have got Volbeat, Three Teeth, Sacred Reich, Slipknot, Killswitch Engage, everything. Loads and loads and loads. Just tons of metal.
Yay! All the metal.
Yeah, it's just more metal than you could possibly think. Even the story behind Party Hard by Andrew WK, one of my favourites. Nice. Are you into that?
I mean, I quite like him. I enjoyed his column.
Yeah.
What was it on? It was on like
Village Voice.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, he's got a lot of good life advice. If I'm ever feeling a bit sad, I like to put on Party Hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go and pick up our Tool issue for everything Tool, all Tool, all the time. Tool.
Tool.
Cool. Well, what else is going on this week, Alice?
Well, there's a massive tour alert.
I was really Lots excited when this was announced.
So Lamb of God, touring, headline tour, I believe, with Creator and Power Trip. So that's pretty cool.
So excited. It's called the State of Unrest Tour, isn't it?
Yes.
Sounds crazy and volatile. But they've got, I think it's like 5 dates ending at Brixton Academy, which is going to be massive. They obviously, Lamb of God played Download this year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year they played on Slayer's final UK tour with Obituary and Anthrax. And then in 2015 they did a co-headliner with Megadeth. But this is kind of the first in a good few years that they've come over and done like a special kind of Lamb of God headlining tour. And Creator as well. That's going to be so good.
It is, yeah.
And Power Trip, it's just going to be like
quite a mix, but all thrash. very well, Lamb of God are thrash, but they're still very energetic, aren't they?
Yeah, it's going to be like a thrash warm up to a Lamb of God cherry on a huge metal chocolate cake. That's what I'm thinking of.
It will be good.
And also, hoping Lamb of God have new music out by then as well, because they've got new drummer now, Art Cruz. And they've posted about doing pre-production, starting on a new album. So I'm keeping all my fingers crossed.
Yes.
Are you a Lamb of God fan? Don't know if I've ever asked you.
Not massively, no.
Well, I'm going to change that.
I've seen them a few times, I think.
I'm going to make you a big Lamb of God playlist. So that you're just going to get all the Lamb of God in your ears from now until April. So you'll have to enjoy it.
All right.
Loads of weird news this week, actually. This is a super, super weird story. Do you want to tell it? It's just so weird.
Well, yeah, all right then.
Come on, Alice.
Yeah, so Ozzy Osbourne is appearing on the new Post Malone album, whoever the fuck that is.
We'll get into that in a second. What else can you tell us?
The album's called Hollywood's Bleeding. And is coming this Friday. So not long and we can hear that abomination. It'll also feature Future, Halsey, Travis Scott and Young Thug. Yes, those guys. Yeah.
You can't say that without laughing, can you?
I don't know who the fuck any of them are.
I mean, that is totally fair. And probably those people listening won't know either. But Post Malone is actually massive. So just headlined Reading and Leeds. Probably know the song Rockstar, even if you don't realise. Rockstar featuring 21 Savage. That's been all over. So even if you've not engaged with any form of popular culture, you'll have probably heard that song. His last album debuted at number one in the Billboard chart, the UK chart, Beer Bongs and Bentleys. That sounds up your street, Alice.
Wow.
Beer Bongs and Bentleys.
Wow.
And he's collaborated with people like Justin Bieber and Lorde. So it's pretty crazy, but if you dig into it a bit further, Post Malone does have a sort of metal background. So he His dad apparently introduced him to Megadeth and Metallica. He was in a hardcore band. And at one time, he auditioned for Crown the Empire, apparently, but was rejected after his string broke. So that's a thing. Mm. So he kind of seems to have, like, sort of metal and rock roots, and is sort of, now he's a rapper. So I guess in some way, it's not too weird, but it's still weird. Ozzy Osbourne, metal legend, appearing on...
Yeah, I don't really know how that's going to work, like, with his voice and... I don't understand how it's going
to
work.
I feel the same. Like, you listen to Post Malone and it's got, like, very languid vocals, and it's kind of, it is that sound that's really popular right
now.
It's kind of really sort of laid back, and it's just going to be super weird having Ozzy come on and just be Ozzy. I can't get my head around how it's going to work.
No, I don't know. I have no idea.
Like, is he going to come on and do, like, is it going to sound, is the song going to sound like Doomy? Is it going to have the bit in it that's sort of like homage to Ozzy Osbourne, or is Ozzy just going to come in? And is it Ozzy going to rap? I don't know.
Oh no.
I don't know. I just can't imagine it. But yeah, it's coming this Friday, so we'll be able to find out and then talk about it next week.
Yeah.
Again, if you look at that, Future, that's fine. He's a rapper. Halsey, she's mainstream, can kind of see that. Travis Scott and Young Thug, but Ozzy Osbourne, so weird.
Yeah, very strange.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to your review, Alice. So,
oh.
As soon as you wake up on Friday, I want a text message. I want a text message of you listening to the Aussie track and giving me your review.
Okay.
That'll make me happy. Other new releases. Alice in Chains' William Duvall is doing a solo album. It's called One Alone, and it's coming on October the 4th. So, obviously, Alice in Chains, William Duvall, you know, you'll be really familiar with him because he's been in the band for a few albums now. Three albums?
I think so, yeah.
I think it's three, isn't
yeah.
it? Obviously, they reformed a number of years after Layne Staley, the original vocalist, died. And they kind of came back with Will, and it was like a big comeback, and people were wondering how it was going to sound. And Will kind of fits into the lineup really well and has been really accepted, and they kind of moved on. But he's doing a solo record now. And he said, "I felt the need to peel everything back. This album is strictly one voice, one guitar. It reveals the very core of who I am as a singer, guitarist and songwriter." But we were having a listen to the single, weren't we?
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
I'm not that impressed from the first single,
Why
honestly.
Why not?
I just found it quite... There wasn't like a real hook to it. There wasn't like something that was that really grabbed me about the song. It was just kind of like a little repetitive and boring. And that's kind of disappointing because I really love like stripped back acoustic stuff. But yeah, I wasn't really that into it. It didn't sort of... There's some acoustic music that will really just like grab you and will just get you by the heartstrings kind of thing. And it's just like, wow, this is really good. Didn't really feel that.
But you're a massive Alice in Chains fan as well, because we've kind of sort of clashed over this before, because we both love Alice in Chains, but you're not as keen on William's era, are you?
No. But like, that's completely... I'm not saying this from a like Alice in Chains point of view, because it sounds nothing like Alice in Chains.
I was really surprised, actually, because I feel like I know his voice pretty well now from listening to Alice in Chains over and over and over again, and then like over again some more. But I feel like if you played me the song, I would struggle to know that it was him, because it almost sounded like, I don't know, just like in a different register. It sort of felt slightly higher. The pacing was so different to what you get on an Alice in Chains song, so it's really hard to wrap your head around that. And yeah, it's acoustic, so it's kind of quite gentle and free-flowing. And I really think I would have struggled to say that it was William unless I was told. It was really quite a change from what I thought it would be. So I'm not sure at the moment. I'm just kind of waiting to hear more, because I really love what he's done with Alice in Chains. So I was really excited about this, and I'm just not sure if it's for me. So I don't know. I'll find out in October, I guess. But It's kind of cool he's doing something else. You know, he's super, super talented. And he has written songs on the Alice in Chains records as well. I think Black Gives Way to Blue, he kind of just came and sang on it, but since then he's contributed more and more, so he's clearly got a lot to say. So yeah, I'm intrigued. I think I'm going to go with that. That's my verdict.
Fair enough. So next in the news is another tour.
So many tours. This is great because after all the festivals, it's a bit like, oh, I want to go see some more bands.
I've yeah.
seen no bands this week and it feels weird.
I haven't either, which is sad.
Yeah.
But there's loads and loads coming up, including this one, which is At The Gates, headline tour. So we've announced a European tour, including a couple of UK dates, which I'm super excited to go to.
Yeah, you're a big fan as well, aren't you?
Yeah. And it kicks off in December and features support from Niflheim.
Is it Niflheim or is it Niflheim?
Is a V sound. Niflheim. Something like that. If I just do it in like that accent that
just like a God Scandinavian accent. Just pretend that that's exactly how it should sound. I liked it though, it was good.
And Deserted Fear, which is a lot easier for me to say.
Yeah, and also it's two words. It kind of breaks up the syllables, yes. You know, which is easier to process.
Yes.
What are we thinking about this tour then?
Awesome. We've got some like Swedish death metal, Swedish black metal, and then Deserted Fear.
Do we know anything about Deserted Fear?
Not really.
Oh, come on.
Okay, well, just give me a second.
One job, Alice. One job.
Hey, okay, I knew the other ones.
At The Gates, though, I'm really excited to see them play because I really enjoyed the record they put out last year. Was it To Drink from the Night Itself? I thought it was pretty cool and it featured really highly in our end of year poll. And in our readers' poll as well, we did online, it was like in the top 20 in that one as well. So I think like a lot of people were really into it. It was just a really good solid record, like loads of hooks and just good. I liked
they're
it.
Good for that. I yeah. think they're like, yeah, considering they're a death metal band, there aren't many death metal bands that are really, really like, they've got really, really good hooks.
And that's kind of what they've always been good at, is that kind of mm-hmm. melody, melodic death metal.
Yes.
And yeah, I'm excited. Go on then, tell us about Deserted Fear.
All right, so they are a death metal, black death metal, so black into death metal band from Germany. And they've been going for 12 years.
Well, we need to do some educating, don't we, on Deserted Fear.
Yeah, so we're going to have a little look on a streaming service.
We need to be prepared for when they come over so we can be down the front.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's awesome news. Can't wait for that to come around. We've got some reader questions.
Yes, straight onto the reader questions. So, first one is from Matt Heeks. And he says, over the past few weeks, you've talked about embargoes on albums and news about bands. I'm sure we all get the principle of it, but can you go into any detail about them? Does it prevent you from talking about just specific things or the band as a whole? And what happens if you break the terms of it?
Interesting question. So yeah, I guess the first thing is we probably should explain what an embargo is, just in case people don't know. That's when a label comes out, or anybody, you know, comes out and says, asks you not to talk about something before a certain date. So in our case at Metal Hammer, there might be an album release and we'll be contacted by the band's PR representatives and they'll say, we don't want anybody talking about this album until X date, or we don't want any reviews published until X date. Or it could be that there's a news story about a tour or a band member change or whatever it is, and they know that it's coming and they want you to put it up or publish it, but not before a certain date. So it's basically from their point of view, it's part of controlling the artist's campaign. It's how they manage the flow of information that comes out about the band. And it's kind of one of those things where just having an embargo, it isn't like there's a legal obligation there. If somebody kind of says, hey, you know, we want to put this information about the album out there, can you hold off until tomorrow or whatever? You know, we're kind of happy enough to do that because it's sort of, it's part of the news. I guess in journalism terms, you'd call it like a diary story, whereas an off-diary story would be something exclusive that we break. A diary story is something that is scheduled and you know is happening. So say, for example, Lamb of God, they've got an album that they're working on at the moment. If we hear that the Lamb of God album is coming out on a certain date in February, they might say, oh yeah, this is happening, kind of here's a heads up about it, but we don't want you to talk about it until this kind of date. And that's fine, you know, we're kind of happy to do that and not reveal that information. But if it was something really, really, really serious, we might reveal the information anyway. It would totally be like a call on what that story would be. But if something like an album release, it's kind of sort of like normal practice that we would kind of do that. There are obviously more serious restrictions sometimes. It's more rare, but we talked about it in the current Tool cover feature, plug for the magazine. So with that, there was a lot of very high security around Tool. And we actually had to sign an NDA for that one, which meant that we had signed a document saying that we wouldn't talk about what the track listing was or the title was or anything like that. And if we did reveal that confidential information, we would be fined. So obviously that is a legal document. So the penalty of breaching that is that then we can be fined for revealing that confidential information. And again, it's one of those things that we would look at and weigh up as to whether we wanted to sign it or not and whether we wanted to go through with it. But if you do sign a legal document, you are bound to that document. So it's something that you have to take very, very seriously. So I guess that's kind of embargoes in a nutshell. It's usually kind of fairly normal sort of information that the label is releasing, that they give us a little bit in advance so that we could prepare a news story for online, or so we can do some research before we interview somebody. And it's just kind of, you know, here's the research so that you know what you're working with, but we don't want it out in the public domain. As I said, if it was kind of a breaking news thing or an exclusive, that's different. That's kind of information we found out ourselves, or you know, something a bit more serious that we might choose to run. And then, yeah, if we've signed a legal document, then we're bound to the terms and conditions. So you're going to have to go with that. But it's really kind of like, yeah, a sort of case by case thing. And we decide what is best for us and what is best for the magazine before we agree to anything or sign anything. And yeah, just kind of depends on how it works, really. Got anything to add, Alice? I just kind of went off on one about legalizing.
No, that was cool. I think you were pretty comprehensive. It's interesting.
We have a company lawyer as well, which is really good because we've all had law training, but it's also good to just turn to a grown-up law person and go, what do you think about this? Could I get in horrendous trouble if I sign it? What does it mean? You know, yeah. It's always good to have advice from a pro because at the end of the day, we just kind of like listen to music.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do another reader question. Yes. And I'll try not to talk for too long this time. Let's see. Okay, we have a question from Elliot Lever. He says, the Knock Loose and Stray from the Path tours in December have joined forces for one bumper night in Bristol. Which two gigs from your past did you have to choose between that you wish could have been combined into one massive show? This is so cool. So basically, these two bands who were going to play on the same night, instead of playing their own shows in Bristol, they've actually booked a bigger venue and moved the tours into this one show so that if you're fans of both bands, you get to see both bands and you don't have to pick between them, which is so awesome. I love the idea that they've done that.
Yeah, it's good.
They've just merged them together and upgraded the venue, basically. So shout out to Knock Loose and Stray from the Path, because it means you don't miss your favourite bands.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a cool idea. And it would work, obviously, if you're similar bands or if you feel like there's a, you know, common thread there.
Definitely. So Elliot wants to know, which two gigs from our past do we have to choose between that we wish could have been combined? What do you reckon?
So I genuinely can't think of any that I've had to choose between.
You've never had to choose between bands?
No, because like I lived somewhere where it was like, well, that's far away. So
where did you live?
I lived in Cardiff.
Cardiff has loads.
No,
of bands.
It doesn't.
It has so many bands.
Maybe more now, but when I was growing up, they had hardly any. We'd always have to go to Bristol.
I feel like it's always on the gig list.
Really didn't have that many. Like occasionally in the, what is it? Like we'd have a not a stadium, an arena. Like in the arena, we'd have some of the bands, like big bands, but we wouldn't get anything. There were loads and loads and loads of stuff that wouldn't come to Cardiff. It would always just come to Bristol.
Oh, sad times. Well, are there any bands in Bristol where you just wish you could have seen two at the same time?
I just can't think of any that have clashed.
Oh, I definitely, there are clashes. I think the most recent clash for me was, technically it's not the same location, but please allow me, because the genres are very similar. It's like what you were saying, Alice, about kind of having that common thread. Because sometimes you like two bands that are completely different, so yeah, to put them on the same bill, like the fans probably wouldn't really be into it.
Yeah.
But I was really good. Obviously, I've gone on and on the podcast about how much I love the Rammstein show in Milton Keynes and how it was literally my favourite show of the year and it was amazing. And I was obviously always going to go to that Milton Keynes Rammstein show because love Rammstein, not going to miss their new album tour, like never going to happen. But it was a little bit gutting because at the same time in London on the same day, it was Ministry supported by Three Teeth. Obviously Ministry, massive industrial legends, and Three Teeth, who we've got in the new issue of Metal Hammer.
Yeah.
Kind of upcoming industrial band.
Yeah, they're all similar though. Like the Rammstein are industrial as well. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure these bands have played together in some other combinations before. So it was really upsetting because Rammstein, Ministry and Three Teeth would have been the best bill. And Rammstein instead was supported by the piano duo who played piano versions of Rammstein songs. And that was cool. Like it was a novelty and I was really near the little mini stage and I really enjoyed it. But Three Teeth, Ministry and Rammstein, like that is a party, an industrial metal party. And I would have been here for that. So, you know, Rammstein are never going to do the amazing combining show thing that not Loose and Straight from the Path have, simply because the scale of it is that would literally never happen. But in my dream world, it would have happened. That would have been my actual dream.
Yeah.
Would you go to that gig?
For Ministry, probably.
Oh, really? You're a Ministry fan?
Yeah, I quite like Ministry.
What do you like about Ministry?
I don't know. I just quite like them. I like some industrial stuff. I like Fear Factory.
Okay. I mean, yeah, slightly on the different end of the industrial spectrum, but like, obviously, I love Fear Factory as well. What's your favourite Fear Factory record?
Demanufacture.
That is the classic Fear Factory record. Although, as a child of new metal, I was well into Digimortal, and I still stand by that. What else have we got from the reader questions? We've got a question actually about the Post Malone album.
Yes, we do.
Go on, Alice.
So what do you guys think about the news that Ozzy Osbourne is set to make an appearance on the new Post Malone album? I think we've already covered that, but I think it's great to see Post Malone acknowledge his appreciation for heavy music, but can't help but think that a younger, more current metal artist would have benefited from such exposure. If not Ozzy, who would you have liked to have seen featured? And that's from Tom Byrne.
I think it's Byrne, but,
yeah. Byrne, Byrne.
Yeah, so yeah. Post Malone album. So who would we have on it if not Ozzy Osbourne? And would we have like a younger metal voice on it rather than kind of Ozzy, who's obviously a well-known figure already? Because yeah, like we said, Post Malone, he's massive. Like absolutely, he's a festival headliner, got number ones like in different countries, collaborated with massive names literally everywhere. Like one of the most, you know, one of the biggest rock, I want to say rock star, but can you say rock star? I don't know. But one of the biggest musicians out there, just huge. And so yeah, would there be sort of younger metal bands or metal vocalists we'd want to see kind of given that platform, I guess?
Yeah,
would you reckon?
I don't know what would quite fit with him.
So hard, isn't it?
Because it's just so just alien to me.
But also, just again, that vocal style that we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's so hard to see how it's going to gel with Ozzy that it's really hard to wrap your head around.
Maybe Fred Durst.
Fred Durst for the young up-and-coming metal bands.
No, just for the, like, you know, the lols, like, rap against each other. I don't know.
I do like the idea of the culture clash that would represent.
Like, this is real American hip-hop. Well, you know what I mean? This is from the street.
Yeah,
it'd Post be Malone really... would be more like urban, like, and Fred Durst would be more the like American-y, like white trash kind of
hip-hopper. Oh, Fred Durst.
No, he's not really, but his like character on stage is
the
quite
red,
you know,
the red cap. Gets yes. a rap from his critics, you Alice. yeah,
he puts on weird. He puts on the hat and he's a different guy though.
That would be weird. Just from two very different worlds and two very different eras. But I could see that working. And also, I would quite like to hear that because I think there's probably like a whole generation now who wouldn't even know who Fred Durst was. And it'd be quite funny to sort of see people kind of discovering that
yeah.
who only know Post Malone. So I think that'd be quite interesting in a really weird way. And I'd love to see what they'd sing about as well.
yeah.
I don't know, for this one, like, my most obvious go-to was Ollie Sykes, but I just feel like it's really obvious. And I don't necessarily even mean style-wise, I just kind of mean almost that Ollie Sykes would get what Post Malone does and would adapt to that, because Bring Me have adapted more and more to the mainstream, and they brought in, you know, electronics, different styles of music, they've gone more mainstream and chart-friendly, if you want to use that term. So I feel like they could easily, like Ollie could easily do something on a Post Malone record that would sound not out of place, for lack of a better way of expressing it. It would sound like it was meant to be there, and like he's very good at understanding the zeitgeist and he'd know what kind of thing would work on there. And him and Jordan Fish are really sort of talented when it comes to that, of like knowing what works and knowing what people want to hear like right now. But it feels very obvious to pick him, because I think like out of everyone in heavy music, he's the sort of best fit that I could think of. And then I was kind of, that sort of led me to like thinking of what else is out there in terms of young bands. And Scarlord, I think, would be another obvious one, because he's kind of doing the whole trap metal thing, like blending trap and metal together. And he's got like one foot in that world where he sort of comes from heavy, but he also understands the rap side of thing. And again, he's very plugged into what's happening now. Like, he just releases like tons of singles and is good at knowing like what is catchy and what is hooky and what people will latch onto. I think that would be a really like interesting collaboration to see, and something that could work. And then, yeah, in terms of other like younger metal bands, I guess we got like Sam from Architects, maybe that could be quite interesting. But
yeah, maybe something more proggy would work. And also something, I was thinking something more like dark wavy, like the more sort of melodic stuff, because it's quite chilled. And maybe he could do something with that, with his like chilled rapping. Do you know what I mean?
Did you call Sam from Architects prog? Did I hear that right?
Something more proggy, techie, whatever.
What? Okay. Just gonna park that over
techie,
there.
Techie, then.
I'm gonna park that over there and walk away, because I'm just not gonna agree with that
techie,
at all.
Techie, it's kind of
no,
techie.
No, I'm not gonna agree with that at all. So, yeah. I'm
just they gonna, are kind of techie.
But in terms of, what did you say after that? Because I got sidetracked with my outrage. What did you say, though?
I said that something more synth-y. Like dark synthy, synth-y. Yeah, like, yeah, okay. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, so like maybe a bit of like a perturbator type thing.
Yeah, like something, yeah, that's more, not necessarily metal, but like yeah. has its roots in metal. So like something that's more like atmospheric, or like even like post-black metal or dark synth or that kind of stuff.
I feel like I could kind of see perturbator in that role, like sort of, in that kind of like, if it had a baby with Post Malone, the baby would be a mix of it, and it could kind of all blur into like a different thing. But I think like jamming it together wouldn't work, but if there was some kind of halfway house between the
yeah,
two,
yeah, yeah,
it would work. Have you got any artists in mind?
No, not really. I was thinking that maybe like a female artist, like Chelsea Wolfe or something like that.
Yeah. She could do the laconic thing. She could do the kind of like, she's got one of those sort of like quite rich, soulful voices, especially on the acoustic material. And she could kind of do something that was more like laid back and rich that maybe would kind of work over the top of it. But yeah, again, like the Culture Clash, Chelsea Wolfe and Post Malone, that would be so weird. They're just two completely different, separate worlds and separate aesthetics. But I could kind of see it working in a really weird sort of a way. But I don't know, I love collaborations between artists you wouldn't think would go together, so I'm kind of down for any of it, really.
That's all I got.
Well, that was something. So here's a good one from Trent Swindles, Fear Inoculum, the new Tool record, in case you've been like away somewhere on Mars. Fear Inoculum goes on a bit, doesn't it? Still listening to it?
Yeah, because it's that long.
So did you listen to Fear Inoculum? Obviously, we talked about in the podcast before, me and Merlin had gone to hear the record a couple of times at the record label to sort of get a feel of it. And I interviewed them for the cover, so I needed to be able to kind of talk to them. But it's one of those things where we were talking about with embargoes earlier. It's very, very unusual that we would go to a label to hear a record a limited number of times and not have a copy of it to listen to a lot before we saw them. But so we kind of had a heads up on it, but Alex, you hadn't heard it at all, had you?
Not until like the day before.
So what do you think as a newcomer?
A newcomer?
Yeah, a newcomer to the Tool record.
Oh, it was Tool.
It is.
It just sounded like, I can't really distinguish what that from what I used to listen to as Tool.
Okay, so I mean, they have evolved quite a lot, and it is the first time they've done longer songs continuously, like the whole album. You're kind of looking at things over the 10-minute mark, and they say in our cover feature on sale now that Danny was sort of a little bit worried about them doing this way and going down this road because he didn't know whether it would isolate some people and whether they'd still, you know, be able to appeal to everybody kind of on this level with going down this route of longer songs. But I think it really works because the whole record is balanced like that. It's balanced with the longer songs. You sit back, you listen to it, you absorb it. Like, without sounding really pretentious, it's kind of one of those records where different things come up on every listen, and you just, you know, every time you listen to it, there's another little bit that stands out, or there's a little bit that you recognize from the previous listen that you suddenly kind of pick up on and connect to. And it is kind of one of those things I think you have to sort of luxuriate in a bit more and like really wrap your head around. So yes, Trent, it does go on a bit, but I am still listening to it. I was worried at the weekend that I'd worn it out by having it on repeat, but I think I'm still okay and I'm back into it. And I also got on, when was it? I want to say yesterday, I got through the post the CD from America, which costs £80.
Wow. £80?
Yeah, but guess why it costs £80?
Why?
Because it's got the TV screen in it.
Oh my god, what?
So we talked about this last week, but maybe you've forgotten. I don't know.
It has a TV screen in it.
It does, yeah. So it's a special edition £80 CD. It's a CD, like sort of cardboard digipack style sleeve. So you open it out, so you've got three cardboard squares in front of you. You know, you kind of pull open the front cover and it's three sections in front of you, and the middle section has got a small screen that has visuals on it and like music.
Yeah.
And it's Alex Gray's artwork. Alex Gray, obviously, we interview him the new issue, and he talks about all his previous work with Tool. He's a longtime collaborator, mm-hmm. a psychedelic artist who had psychedelic visions as when he was in his 20s and has made his career from exploration of psychedelic art. And he's done the new visuals for the Tool album, and the screen kind of shows these visuals developing. So there's the eye symbol, which they've used before, Alex Gray's eye, and it kind of swirls around and different things happen. I'd say it's probably about 5 minutes or so, 5 to 10 minutes, but I haven't timed it. I was just kind of like absorbed in it, and you open it and you watch this video and hear this music and have this really weird experience where I was watching it, and I took out, on the left side it's got the lyric booklet, so I took out the lyric booklet, had a look at the lyrics, and kind of it's got pictures of the band, like paintings of them, mm-hmm. and overlays. It's really nice. It's like super arty. So I had a look through that and I was like, oh wow, like this is really cool. And then I thought, what's on the other side in the other cardboard pocket? And looked inside it and it was a CD. And I just totally forgotten that a CD came with the thing that I was holding.
Yeah.
I was just completely like focused on looking at everything else. And it was almost like the CD, when I pulled it out, I was a bit disappointed because I was like, oh, this bit doesn't do anything. It's like the middle bit moves. The other bit has like a shiny booklet with loads of things in. And this bit just has a CD. And it's a very, again, the CD is in like another cardboard sleeve and it's very pretty. But I was like, oh, like sort of the worst bit about this CD package is the CD.
Yeah.
Which is a really weird place to be coming from for a special edition CD. But obviously in this day and age, you just listen to it streaming and it obviously the CD comes with a download promo code. So even if you didn't stream, you would download it. And the CD just almost felt like an afterthought. It's like, oh yeah, it comes with a shiny disc. That's cool. So I don't know. It was weird. Like £80 is so much money. And I feel almost like you're paying for the idea rather even than the execution, because it did feel exciting just sitting there with it in my hands because I knew it was coming in the post. And it was the excitement of not knowing what it was going to do. It was almost like how I talked about with Rammstein in another podcast, how it was just like when they came on, you just didn't know what was going to happen. And it's just really nice to be surprised, like if you don't know what something's going to do, like probably after the first few times of kind of having it in your hands and the tactile sensation and watching the clip and stuff, the novelty wears off and you're like, oh yeah, it's just another thing, you know, and a very expensive thing. But actually that thing of like having it in your hands and being excited by it, like for me the excitement of that was real. I genuinely was like, what's gonna happen, what's gonna be in the video? And I think probably because I'd waited for it all day as well, because it arrived just as I was leaving for work, so I didn't get to see it until the end of the day. I don't know why I didn't bring it in, but I just waited. So to answer your question, Twent Swindles, yeah, I am still listening to it, but lots and lots of times.
Yeah.
It has just grown on me and I do really like it, and I think it is different to early days Tool, but I think given the years have passed and the fact that they've grown up, it was always going to be a bit different. And I would say if you are kind of in the camp that is saying they're a bit bored with it or they're not really sure what it's about, I would just give it a bit more of a chance, because I just think you probably need to. If you don't like Tool, fair, like not for you. But mm-hmm. if you do, probably just give it a little bit more time and then see what happens. I'd say that to you, Alice. Give it a little bit more time. Right. I'll bring in the CD for you and you can watch the video. And actually, it was a little bit like a sort of secret hypnosis. You're kind of watching it being like, there could be a secret message in this. And
yeah, maybe there is.
I would never know.
Maybe that's what they're doing to you.
I won't know, though, until it becomes apparent somehow. Do you want to take another question?
Yes, let's do it. So, and this is our final reader's question.
No!
Yeah. From Curious Badger.
That's a great name. Can we just take a moment? Curious Badger. I want to know what he's curious about. Or she.
Well, be a girl. I can tell you now. What's each of your choices for most underrated or undiscovered bands? Mine personally is Maximum, The Hormone from Japan. I think more people need to discover them.
Interesting. It's mad, isn't it? Stuff like this, because there's just a whole world.
So many.
And it's just like, where do you even start? I don't even know where to start. Maybe I should start actually with another Japanese band, because that's what Curious Badger was talking about in his example. Yeah. There was this amazing band I went to see last time I was in Japan called the Wagaki Band. And I don't even know where to start. Just please Google the Wagaki Band. Alice, do it right now. Alice has got a laptop.
Oh, gosh.
So just Google the Wagaki Band.
How do I spell it?
I think it's Wagaki. Can you put that into Google and check that? I've got it right.
K-I.
So
double K.
Is it? Double K. So what is it? Wagaki Band.
Yeah.
And they're just amazing. So I heard about this band and got in touch and asked if I could go see them when I was in Japan. And they were super, super nice. And I went along with a couple of friends. And they are like a band that kind of just mix like rock with and metal with kind of traditional Japanese instrumentation and martial arts. So you just don't know, like, again, it's a surprise. You don't know what is going to happen next. They had Japanese style like game show bits in the middle as well. They had this one bit where there was a screen up and you had to like cheer loudly, and then like the screen would show which side of the room had cheered the loudest. And they had a bit where the band would walk through the audience and like throw out sweets to everybody, and people had to catch them, and there'd be a bit where there was confetti everywhere. There was this really weird bit where they just stopped the gig and like the band went backstage with this puppet, and the puppet was interviewing people backstage in Japanese, so we couldn't really understand what was going on. It lasted for about 10 minutes, and the little puppet was like this little kind of animal thing that was talking to people. And what else? They had loads of crazy, oh, they had like a martial arts demonstration where the band were kind of doing all these poses and routines. It was amazing. But I guess I should talk about the music. So it's like a fusion of kind of contemporary rock and metal with traditional Japanese kind of folk music and instrumentation. And they had one bit where they had kind of, they demonstrated both sides as a really cool part of the show. They had half the band like come on and do the traditional stuff, like play the traditional instruments and do that side of thing. They had the other half of the band come in and like play the electric guitars and sing and stuff. And then obviously during the songs, everything's fused together and it all just works as one, but you're just not quite sure how it's going to sound. And the sound is just so interesting and unlike anything that I'd heard before. And the energy on stage was absolutely unbelievable as well, because there's so many, I can't quite remember how many members there are, but there are a huge amount of people on stage just kind of playing their instruments. And just please Google the Wigaki Band, because they're just absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure they're on all the streaming services as well, so you can check them out on there. And that would probably be my like Japanese recommendation, because it was just so interesting. I've just like trailed off now, just getting too excited by it. But like, I just pulled up a promo photo on my phone just to have a quick look, and there's like 8 members in the band that I can see. I definitely remember there were like so many people on the stage that it just felt really, really crammed and full. And they were super hospitable as well. Like, they really took care of us, and on the way in they gave us a little snack pack with a biscuit in it in case we got hungry.
What?
And then it's sort of a thing as well, like I think for a lot of Japanese bands, where they're so hospitable that afterwards you kind of go backstage and chat to the band, and you kind of, you know, say congratulations for the show, and they say like thanks for coming and stuff. And we went back and had a little chat with the Wigaki band, and I was like, oh, I hope someday, you know, we can involve you in Metal Hammer. And I was asking them about the puppet and kind of what it all meant and the conversations and stuff. And there's just so much to dig into there, and at some point hopefully we can at Hammer kind of dig into that a bit more and sort of have a little look at it, because it just felt like there was an awful lot going on. And if you know anything about Japanese music, you probably will have heard of them. So, and if you don't, then please have a look, because it's well worth it.
Do you have any others?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, probably just stuff again that I've talked about on the podcast. There was Bloody Wood, I talked about a few weeks back, from India, who were like a new metal Indian band. Definitely check them out. Vola and Agent Fresco, I've gone on about a million times. I saw them at Radar again, Radar Festival, a progressive music festival, a couple of weeks back, and they're still just like totally on form. And they're not like unknown or undiscovered or underrated particularly, but I really want to see North Lane like at bigger venues, because they really deserve to be playing like bigger venues. Their last record, Alien, that just came out a couple of weeks back, it's just incredible. And I just really want them to like get a massive venue and just go and see all those songs on like a big stage, because I just think they really deserve it, and it'd just be really good. Yeah, that's me.
Cool.
Yeah, what about you?
Well, I like a lot of underground stuff anyway.
You like really cult stuff, don't you? Like things that people haven't really heard of, or like extreme metal.
Yeah, so like I could go through a huge excessive list of stuff that I don't think people should like. Well, people keep missing is what I mean. I don't know why I said it.
Do it. I want to hear the list. Tell me all.
Yeah,
about
there's probably
what's
like
the
way too many, but like one that I go on and on about is Mork. I love Mork.
You do love Mork, but I still haven't listened to Mork. So it's Black Mel, right?
It's just like old school
Black Mel,
Norwegian Mel, like Black Mel. Yeah.
What do you love about them? Like when you watch them and stuff,
they're just super old school. They're just like a lot of black metal has kind of like gone away from the original very raw sounding stuff. It's got quite symphonic in some cases, or just like more of a process, like more sort of technical in a way, but this is like taking it right back and it's just old school and it's just really
so
good.
You kind of just like it because it's just it is what it is and you just enjoy the sound.
Yeah, because I just like black metal. But so I love Mork. I love Azagram, who've been in the magazine.
Yeah, we had them in really recently because there's lots of women in the band.
Yeah, they're all female.
Yeah.
All female black metal.
I didn't want to say all female because it sounds wanky, but I don't know how else you say it. Like,
nah.
Oh, it's always the problem, isn't it? Because you don't want to be like, oh, it's all women in a band, but it is pretty cool also. That
it is cool. Like, yeah.
It is
it's
all
different.
Women, even though it shouldn't be a thing.
There are lots of women in black metal, but there aren't any all female, well, not many all female black metal bands.
Yeah. Where should we start with Azagram? If you haven't read the amazing piece of Metal Hammer,
where would you start?
Yeah, like what song?
Oh God, I'm gonna have to look on my Spotify.
Come on, Alice.
You could pick up their new album, which is coming out very soon.
Give us these listings. We want the sweet songs that we can put into our streaming service of choice to hear.
So their new album is out this month. I believe very soon, like next, like 10 days. I think it's the 13th. I think it's out. And I believe that's a Friday the 13th. So,
the best Fridays.
So,
the
you,
Fridays
yeah. And they've actually released a single from that new album. Maybe two singles now, actually. But I'd probably just start with that because it's new.
I feel like I've slept on it a little bit because I'm aware, like I've read about them and I'm aware of them, but I just haven't really sat down with them. So,
yeah, it's really good. I mean, that their last album is all on Spotify, so it's pretty easy to just kind of delve into. Just get on Spotify, press play, just go for it, and just absorb all of the amazing black metalness. That's what I do. I'm just like, oh yeah, just put it on, just random mix.
Actually, a band I was listening to before we started doing this was Chaka Chak from Nepal, who I've mentioned before as well on the podcast, because I went to the Silence Festival last year in Nepal.
Yeah,
which is happening again. Actually, check out Silence Festival's Facebook page because they've been doing a lot of updates. I think they've got Testament headlining this year, which will be amazing. Testament in Kathmandu. But one of the bands I saw last year, Chaka Chak, like a really young, politically active sort of a band, and they sound like Rage Against the Machine.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have the same kind of life that they do. Like, I think they've obviously been inspired by them a huge amount, and they're sort of singing about injustices. And they've just, like I said before, like when I came back from the festival, they've got an amazing fire about them that's really driving them. Like, they obviously are really behind the things they're singing about, and they really want to get their message out and stuff. So Chaka Chak would be another one that I would say, like, go give them a bit of love because they deserve it.
I've got a couple more that aren't black metal.
Okay.
Sort of. So there's one that I really love, and it kind of goes, it's more like folk music, but I don't think they get enough love. And especially seeing as like stuff like Wardruna and Heilung and that kind of stuff is quite popular at the moment, and people are kind of delving into the folky side of stuff. This is more sort of Celtic-y, but it's called The Moon and the Night Spirit, and they're really, really cool. And you can just put them on in the background, and it's just kind of like, you just feel like, oh, it's a bit magical, you know? It's kind of cool. So I'd recommend listening to them if you're into...
I've literally just forgotten again.
The Moon and the Night Spirit.
The Moon and the Night Spirit. Do you know where they're from?
I think they're...
Sorry, I put you on the spot.
Yeah.
I can imagine you doing some kind of witchy ritual Yeah. While listening to them, like getting I used to
actually work in a crystal shop, and we used to play them quite often because they're quite easy to like listen to, and also because it sounded very crystally.
I feel like now you've revealed the big the Hungarian that you used to work Hungarian.
Okay. Yes.
Now I feel like you revealed, because you used to work at a crystal shop, now you have to recommend a crystal that we should buy.
You can't just like generally for what?
I don't know anything about crystals. If I was coming into your crystal shop as a crystal virgin, what crystal would you recommend for
me? You can never go wrong with a black tourmaline to ward off negative energy.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, it absorbs negative energy from yourself and your surroundings.
Oh.
Yes.
Should we get like a small crystal, or should we get like a whole like lamp or something?
The more negative you feel you are or attract, the bigger you want it.
How big is yours?
I mean, I have loads of it. So much. So much. So yeah, I would definitely recommend them. And the last one that I'm going to recommend is Devil Master. And this is a guy that I met in Oslo actually recommended me this. He DJs in the Niven Bar. And it's kind of like this blend of like black metal with kind of like 80s synth and stuff.
Really?
And it's just like so good. And there's, I think they had an album out this year. And they're just really, really cool.
Wait, I forgot the name of that one as well.
Devil Master.
I kind of feel like maybe they didn't try so hard with
the
name.
Why wasn't that a thing before, you know?
Yeah, I feel like someone should have already called themselves Devil Master.
Yeah.
But, you know, someone has now, so that's used, that's taken now.
Exactly.
Devil Master.
Yeah, nice. It's really, really cool. They're American. And yeah, it's kind of like 80s and black metal and kind of punky. And it's just kind of like, well, if you go on the Facebook, it says raw twisted black metal punk mayhem. But there's a lot of synthwave in there. Like,
it does actually sound quite 80s calling themselves Devil Master. Maybe there's a reference that I'm not getting here. It sort of reminds me of like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like
yeah. No, exactly. Yeah.
Know,
it's got
like a Dungeons and Dragons thing or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Definitely.
I don't know what I'm talking about here. So
definitely does. It definitely has that vibe.
A bit of a ring.
And their latest album is called Satan Spits on Children of Light. So you should probably go check that out.
I feel like it's a bit anti-black tourmaline. Like, oh no, that's what you would have the black tourmaline for,
yeah.
Right? Because he's being very negative. He needs like a big old lump of crystal.
Maybe he has plenty of crystals around him. Black absorbs the negativity.
But
so,
he sounds pretty negative, if you ask me.
Well, you know.
Right, get that care package out now. 5 black crystals to Devil Master.
That's just be all the black
did.
Ones.
Yeah.
Maybe exactly. A rose quartz for some love.
Okay, that works as well. Oh, well, thanks for that, Alice. I feel educated. That is it for the Metal Hammer podcast. But we have something really exciting coming up this week. We are hosting an exclusive Lacuna Coil album playback at the London Dungeon. So we're going to have all that action from that next week, everything that went down there. And Alice, have you got a gig on this week as well?
I have 2. Ooh. Well, I want to make it to one on Friday. And so I'm hoping to. But the one on Thursday I'm reviewing, so I have to go. And that's Ouija Dude. I can't
say
the name.
That will be awesome. Can you say the Friday one? Is you not want? Do you want to hold off in case you get sidetracked at our Lacuna Coil event?
Yeah.
Okay. So
just
maybe
in case.
Maybe not. But either way, you'll have all the action from the Lacuna Coil playback next week and the London Dungeon, which is going to be super, super, mm-hmm. super fun and probably a bit scary. And yeah, all the news and more questions from you guys. Send us your questions. What's the URL for the questions, Alice? facebook.com/
Metal Hammer Readers.
Get on there, send us your questions. We want to know stuff. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Bye.